As we're here together to worship the Lord, first of all, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And we greet you, grace to you, and peace from him who is, who was, who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler over the kings on the earth. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord with singing Psalm 63, the verses 1 and 2. To the 10 words of God's covenant to test our heart and life to that law of God as to the rule of thankfulness, and thereafter we'll sing from Psalm 65 verse 2. Psalm 65 verse 2 after the 10 words of God's covenant. God spoke all these words: I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, on which you shall do not work, do not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not be a false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. The Lord Jesus Christ summarized this as follows. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Unite in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that You may dwell in Thy presence. Lord, we realize, as we did sing it, that so often we grieve Thee by our transgressions. And when we think about it, it could happen that we are indeed overwhelmed by sin. But we could also sing that Thou will blot out all our transgressions and give us peace again. And that's how we have come together, Father, to warm ourselves in Thy peace, in that wonderful care which we could experience also throughout the past week again. Thou art there every day, every night. When we slept, Thou were watching over us. Lord, we thank Thee for that constant care each day again. And we do so in humbleness, knowing that we are undeserving of it. For Father, we do not always give that love which Thou requirest of us. At times we can be so self-centered that we think more about ourselves than about Thee and our neighbor. As we pray, Thee, Father, will Thou work that love in us? Love for Thee and love for our neighbor. Self-denying, unconditional. Father, bless to this end also this morning's preaching, when we may focus on that we should not live by bread alone, but that in our life, Thy word should always come first. And again, Father, we realize that that is not always the case. And so, Father, when thou want to reinforce this message by the preaching of the gospel, open our hearts so that we are willing to listen. And even that we can't do from ourselves. And so, Father, we pray that thou, by thy Spirit, use the preaching in such a way that it may touch the hearts of all of us. Also, when there is sin, and when that sin will be exposed by the preaching. For Father, that's also a purpose of the preaching every Sunday. Not only that we feel comfortable, because we are comforted and strengthened, but maybe at times we may also feel uncomfortable, because sins are exposed. And grant, Father, that we did not turn off and go home without any change, but that we may go home with the desire to fight against these sins by the power of thy Spirit. Father, bless so the preaching of this morning. Be near to us both in speaking and listening. Yes, give also thy servant all he needs to proclaim thy word in such a way that it is to the glory of thy name. Bless us so when we worship thee, also in our songs of praise, in our offerings of thanks, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we open God's word, let us sing again from Psalm 37, the verses 1 and 2. And before we do so, you will receive opportunity to give to the Lord your gifts of thankfulness, which are this morning, I'm going to look at the sheet, which are this morning for the work of the deacons. This afternoon the collection will be for Fairhaven.
Thank you.
This morning in the preaching we'll focus on the first temptation by which the Lord Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And in that, when he is tempted, the Lord Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy 8 that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. To put it into context, let us read first Deuteronomy 8. Moses is speaking there to the Israelites on behalf of the Lord, and he speaks there the following words. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make known that men shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your food swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chases his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out, valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stone are iron and out of whose hill you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness into a fiery serpent and scorpions and thirsty land, but there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hands have gained me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Let's turn to our text now. Matthew 4. Matthew 4, this morning we will focus on the first temptation. The Lord willing, next week Sunday we'll focus on that, on the second temptation. So first, Matthew 4, verse 1 through to 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. parts of our text. In response to the sermon, we will sing Psalm 16, verse 1, 2, and 3. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, man shall not live by bread alone. I think we would all agree with that this morning. Unfortunately, though, often these words are quoted out of context. And so easily we can do that as well. Out of context that we basically want to highlight that there is more to life than just material welfare. There are also ethical issues about which we should think. It was in 1977, I was in my first congregation in the Netherlands, that it was close to the election, and a Christian Democratic Party thought we have to do something that we really focus on the C in our CDA, Christian. And therefore, the highlight of the election program was, man shall not live by bread alone. Sounds good, and in itself, it's also true. But so easily, and maybe also conveniently, we leave out the second part of the text. Namely that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that Christian Democratic Party did not always live up to that when it comes to abortion and other things. So there you see, that you can easily quote the text out of context. Man shall live by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Then it will be well with you. As you also read it in Deuteronomy 8. Well, not in the first place materially, but well knowing that God will provide for us under all circumstances of life. Also, when materially things perhaps are not going so well, God will work out His plan for our life. He is in control. He will provide also this ongoing pandemic, and what the economy in the future may hold, it doesn't matter. God will provide. Now again, we all agree. And it's easy to confess that. But beloved, are we also willing to live up to that? If the economy goes down, and we will have less income, how do we react then? In the same way as the Israelites, they had to receive manna, they had bread, and then they come to a place where there is no water, and then they murmur against Moses that we better stay in Egypt. So what do we say? Then perhaps things will become a bit less wealthy. Not for nothing that scripture says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not well, it doesn't say money. But the love for money, greediness, not being content with God, with what God in His wisdom imparts to us. Now there's nothing new under the sun. Because Adam and Eve already struggled with that same problem. You're allowed to eat freely from any tree in the garden, apart from the palm tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But according to them, if you walk through the garden, and the devil almost whispered that in their ears as well, that special tree of which they were not allowed to eat from was pleasant to the eyes and desirable to make one wise. So they ate, disobeying the commandments, and we all know the ruining results of that action of Adam and Eve. Well, brothers and sisters, brings us to the text of this morning. For that's exactly why the Lord Jesus had come into this world. As true man, so to speak, to pick up the scrap that Adam and Eve had dropped it. He starts also where Adam and Eve started. Christ as the second Adam. Yet since the first Adam failed in his confrontation with the devil in paradise, that's why the Lord Jesus was led by the Spirit to confront the devil on our behalf. And that is the aim, beloved, that once again, as Isaiah says it in chapter 35, that once again waters may burst forth in the wilderness, streams in the desert, paths cleansed may become a pool of thirsty water and springs of the thirsty land. Springs of water in the desert. Of course, that's figurative language to show that when the Lord Jesus heals life, it will be well with us. But to obtain that, the Lord Jesus had to meet the devil first in his own residence, the desert. This first confrontation with the devil, the Lord had to do to show obedience where the first Adam had disobeyed. That's first. But then we also see that here in the desert, the victory already starts. Because the Lord Jesus wanted to live by Father's word alone. That's the gospel I may proclaim to you this morning. Tempted by the devil, the Lord Jesus as the second Adam proves himself superior to the first Adam. We look at the following two aspects. Christ is tempted like the first Adam, yet he obeyed Father's will, and so he is stronger than the first Adam. First he was tempted like the first Adam. All gospel narratives, brothers and sisters, lay a close link between Jesus' baptism in the Jordan and him being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Now when you take these two together, you may wonder how are these two to be reconciled with each other. First, God says from heaven, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." But next, he straightway, by the Spirit, the third person within the Trinity, by the Spirit, led into the wilderness, by God himself, to be tempted by the devil. You wonder, which father who dearly loves his son would do that? We are allowed to pray, "Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." But the very person who laid this petition on our lips, he was not allowed to pray this. God's fatherly love did not protect him against the attacks of the evil one. Instead, God's love made Jesus meet the devil on purpose. And this, brothers and sisters, for our sake. It was for our sake that the Lord Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The same Spirit who just before had descended upon him in the form of a charming dove. Again, you wonder how to reconcile that. Well, beloved, we'll only learn to understand this when we consider that God wanted to redeem us from the clutches of the devil. That's why the Lord had to meet the devil as the first point on the redemption agenda. For all righteousness could not be fulfilled without proof that the Lord Jesus was indeed able to attack the evil one. He had to show that. That's why he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Next we read that the Lord Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And it was not because there was no food in the wilderness. John the Baptist also spent quite some time in the wilderness. And he kept himself alive with locust and wild honey. But the Lord Jesus did not do that. He devoted himself in prayer to God. And in those days, prayer and fasting often went together. We don't do that. We pray, and we can take time for prayer, but often we don't fast. And you can fast in many ways. can fast food-wise. You could also fast social media-wise. What if we would say, things in this country are so serious, upcoming election, pandemic, all kinds of things, we're going to fast. Maybe also sober on food, but we're also going to fast and lay our mobile phone for a week away. A week. That's a week. But why, where do we ourselves be fed by? By the word of God? Or by social media? It's a question we have to examine ourselves on. Because that all comes in. Where do we live for? For every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the Lord Jesus, he knew that he had to face the devil. What did he do? He fasted for 40 days. And prayed. Knowing which task lay ahead. A very serious task. He had to meet the devil in his own place, the wilderness. The Lord Jesus must have prayed for strength and wisdom, as well as for the people, for us, for whom he had to give his life. And then after 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord Jesus, being true man, becomes hungry. To the extent there is no strength left in his body. And that's the moment when the devil takes action. Of course, the devil had been there all the time. And that's why in some gospels, in some gospel narratives, it reads that the Lord Jesus was tempted for 40 days. For this was, so to speak, a waiting game of the devil, laying the snare to tie the knots at the most appropriate time. Do you know, brothers and sisters, that that is exactly the tactic of the devil, the tactics of the devil. Also when he's tempting us. The devil knows our weaknesses. He doesn't attack us on our strength. He attacks us on our weaknesses. And that's where he makes the most of it. And that it, he did it, do that with the Lord Jesus as well. Hunger was gnawing at his body. A hunger as you and I have never felt. By way of example, think of the people who suffered in the German concentration camps during the Second World War. A hunger so intense that you feel sick from it and you will do anything to get some food. I need food. I can't do it anymore. Feeling that hunger in his human body, Jesus meets the devil on his way. Who says to him, why should you be hungry? Why? You're the Son of God. It's only to say one word and these stones become bread. Why don't you do that? If you are the Son of God. With these words, the devil reminds Jesus of what God the Father had spoken during his baptism in the Jordan. And the point is not that the devil doubted whether Jesus was the Son of God. No, the point the devil wants to make is, why not show this? You've come to redeem people. Well, make sure that you stay alive to devote yourself to the task laying ahead. Why should you starve? There is no need for that. After all, you are the Son of God. So, what prevented Jesus from doing what the devil said? Well, the point is this, beloved. In becoming man, becoming one of us, the Lord Jesus had temporarily laid down his divine glory. Later on, he does also miracles, that's true. But he always served his preaching, the task he had to fulfill. But here in this desert, Christ stands here as the second Adam. And now you have to understand this very well. What was at stake here? God had created man in the image of himself. Good and perfect. To the extent there was no need for Adam to eat from the tree in the garden. God had made him perfect. But he fell. So perhaps God had not made him perfect. And now the Lord Jesus comes as the second Adam to show that God had indeed created man without any flaw. He could obey God's commandments. And so he takes the place where Adam had failed. So he stands there at our place. And therefore, in this hour, he's not allowed to use his divine power. And the devil knew that. But he plays this satanic game. Especially now the Lord Jesus, human like us, had no strength left. As always, the devil knows what moment to choose to tempt people. And he chooses also now that moment accurately. If you are hungry, why can't you just for one moment forget that you are God's servant? Tomorrow day you have the power to do so. You are the son of God, aren't you? Why would you not be allowed to make use of this power in this exceptional circumstance? Exceptional, because he suffered hunger. And again, these are the tactics of the devil, by which he plays on our mind as well. That sometimes there may be exceptional circumstances that the need is so great that maybe for this one time it's not too bad to do this. When the need is high, when there are exceptional circumstances, perhaps you don't have to obey the law as exactly as it says. Does that ring a bell? We can easily talk our way out of things. Yes, I know that's true. That's true. But and then we blame the exceptional circumstances. But actually, we are blaming God. That's the point. For there are no circumstances, beloved. There are no circumstances in life that can nullify God's law. God's law always has to be upheld, no matter what the circumstances are. If you are the Son of God, how great the temptation must have been also for the Lord Jesus to give in just for one moment, feeling the hunger in his body, having the power to make food. How critical a moment this was. If you are the Son of God. With these words, the devil also mocks Jesus. What kind of father is this? Who let the son almost starve at the same time asking to fulfill that great work of redemption? Help yourself. Especially now it seems that God lets you down. But the Lord Jesus knew this, beloveds. This only beginning. For the father would forsake him more and more. He knew the way that lay ahead. The desert here was only the start of it. In the end, the father would forsake him altogether. To the extent that he wasn't even take the father name on his lip. When he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The devil tries to lure the Lord Jesus away from that road of suffering. If the father now already leaves you to your own fate, why not help yourself? You see what is at stake here, beloved. The road for the Lord Jesus was through suffering to come to glory. But the devil basically says, why would you travel that difficult road? Especially since you have the power to make it much more easier for yourself. Beloved, if the Lord Jesus had lent his ear to the devil, what would have come from your and my salvation? That's what's at stake in this temptation. Our salvation. Because the Lord Jesus stands here as the second Adam. The devil could also sow doubt in the mind of the first Adam. What is that for a God who says that you're allowed to eat from all the trees in the garden apart from that one? Isn't that very strange commandment? And so doubt was sown. And Adam gave in. And now the devil tries to do the same with the second Adam, sowing doubt under much more difficult circumstances. The first Adam lived in a beautiful garden where he could eat from all the trees in the garden, bar one. But he gave in. There was no reason for Adam to become disobedient. But the second Adam is starving from hunger. 40 days, 40 nights. And then the tempter came. But then, in unwavering faithfulness to the word of Father, Jesus exposes the devil's deceit. He ignores the Satan's illusion to his divine power. And it says, it's written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from Father's mouth. And so he showed himself more obedient than the first Adam. And that was for our redemption. Indeed, beloved, obedience is more important than need for food. What Satan thinks comes first basically comes second. Satan always puts the need for food and material things at the center. And he does so purposely, knowing quite well that man's heart is often more concerned about material welfare than spiritual welfare. When we make plans for the future, you have to build a new house, you have to extend your business. So you make plans. And then you also think of the future. What will happen if this? What will happen if that? And then we adjust our budget accordingly. But note well that the Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things should be added to you. That's what is written. But now the Satan can so easily put thoughts in our minds that there are also other priorities because of exceptional circumstances. So then we say, yes, but we are a bit tight on the budget. If we want to do that, we can do that, but maybe God's kingdom can wait for a moment. So we decrease our fixed voluntary contributions, because otherwise we can't afford the mortgage. So first this, and then that. But now look at your Savior. He's almost starving. Humanly speaking, the first thing he needed to fulfill God's given task, was to get some food. And that would have really been so bad just for this moment to use his divine power. One could even ask whether it was responsible for the Lord Jesus to put his life at risk. What would have happened if he had indeed died from starvation? Then he could not have been our Savior either. Yet, beloved, the Lord Jesus does not believe in exceptional circumstances to allow higher priorities. I said before, earth's need can never be so great that it can nullify God's commands. Even now, God's kingdom became first. And likewise, for us, God's kingdom should always be first. And even more so, brothers and sisters, when life is at risk. Who would worry about material things when death is near? Hopefully by that time we'll indeed start to think about eternal things. And so the Lord Jesus exposes the deceit of the devil by quoting Deuteronomy 8. So let's go to Deuteronomy 8. Moses warns the Israelites against the temptations that will face them upon entering the promised land. The temptations of living in a land flowing with milk and honey. Indeed, we read it in Deuteronomy 8. Canaan was a land rich beyond imagination. But now Moses warns the Israelites that once you have entered this land, never forget the 40 years the Lord led you through the desert. For the Lord did so, Deuteronomy 8 verse 2, to humble you, to test you, to know what's in your heart. Yes, the Lord had used those 40 years of traveling through the wilderness to teach his people a lesson. That under all circumstances they had to obey him, and then it would be well with them. That's why he gave them manna. He gave them manna from heaven. First hunger, to teach them their total dependence. And then the Lord gave manna to show, see, that's how I provide for you. And so the Israelites had to learn that they could not provide for their own livelihood. They had to learn to live from Father's hand. He would provide food, even in a miraculous way, manna in the wilderness. And brothers and sisters, that is something we have to learn as well. To live out of Father's hand. Also when it comes to food and drink. Seeing these things as gifts of God. The bread in your toaster this morning, if you had toasted bread by way of example, was a slice of bread out of Father's hand. Now you can say yes, but I had my wages in my account. I worked hard for it, so I earned this. These are my earnings. If you have the wages, put into your account, or you have your own business, doesn't matter, but that money that is put into your account was already the Lord's before it was put into your account. All that you receive is a gift of God. We have nothing of ourselves. And that's what we should learn. And that's what the Lord wants to teach us also this morning, like he taught the Israelites. I gave you this beautiful land. And you can eat from it. It will be well with you. You have nothing to worry about. See this land. Lest. Don't forget that I have given you this land. And then I think all the wealth we have, we can easily forget it. We are wealthy, more wealthy even than the Israelites. See what we all have. Maybe the one more than the other. And they might also hear the congregations, people that have to are concerned because the budget is tight. But in comparison, look at people elsewhere in the world. We have electricity. We have water. We have a roof above our heads. How many people are there not in refugee camps who would love to have that? No food, no shelter, no water, no electricity. This is the land God has given you. Do you every day thank God for that slice of bread, for the money you receive? That's what God wants. That's living out of Father's hands. And that's what the Lord Jesus had to endure in the temptation of the devil. Don't listen to the devil. Don't become slack in serving the Lord. Cling to the word of God. The word of God, which is what Jesus used, and of which the Apostle Paul says it is the sword of the Spirit. The devil urged the Lord Jesus to use his divine power, using to provide food for him in a miraculous way. Now you could say, didn't the Lord do the same? Providing food in a miraculous way, supplying food for the Israelites in the deserts. Yet the point is, beloved, the devil suggests that food provided either in a usual way or in a miraculous way, that's essential for life. You can't do without it. You are fit for nothing. And therefore we need it. And when the need is urgent, then you can provide for it. But the Lord Jesus had understood Deuteronomy better than the devil. For knowing that withholding natural food and providing miraculous food, it all depends on the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. More basic than food is obedience to God's word. And that word ruled Christ's life. Even now he was almost starving. And in this, the second Adam proves himself more obedient than the first Adam. Moreover, as the second Adam, the Lord Jesus also wants to restore what the first Adam had ruined by his disobedience. Here in the desert, Christ is fighting the arch enemy of God to bind him so that the devil may become powerless. Throughout this battle, according to Hebrews 5 verse 8, Christ learned obedience by the things he suffered. Being tempted in all things like we are tempted, yet without sin. And that also means, beloved, that today we have in heaven a mediator, a high priest who can sympathize with us. If you are tempted, bring it before the Lord. He knows what life is like to be tempted by the devil in a far more serious way than we will ever be tempted. And not only that, he knows that, so that he can sympathize, but he can provide also strength for us to fight that temptation. So what is important when you feel tempted? That you cling to the Lord. Say, for example, just by way of example, you are addicted to alcohol and you struggle. Now, the first thing is, perhaps don't put too much alcohol in the fridge or in the cupboard. But maybe there's still a few stubbies there. You have already too much, but you left another stubby. What to do? Pray. Pray. That's important. In the middle of temptation, whatever temptation it is. Say, for example, as young people, engaged, going steady, and you know that you're on the verge of going too far, taking things which only belong to marriage. Pray. Pray as a couple. In the temptations the Lord puts on your way, then the Lord will help you. And the Lord understands all these temptations. And he will give strength. See, that's what this text will teach us. So we learned that men should not live by bread alone, but let ourselves be fed by the word of God. That doesn't mean that food is no longer important. The point is, food and drink, material welfare, is not the first thing we should be concerned about. So that's the lesson we should take to heart. And brothers and sisters, again, let's be honest, so often it's different. It's different. Tonight, when you're out and about and perhaps friends over, a cup of coffee. Now examine yourself in general what we do, the things we talk about. Our holiday, which unfortunately we can't do because there is COVID-19. The new car I just bought. I'm building a new house. And so on. Should that have priority? Or should we talk about the things which were addressed this morning? How do we live for the Lord? And if you struggle, open up to each other. If you have a good friend, if you have good friends over, talk about your struggles. And then at the end of the evening, bring it together before the Lord. That's what we should do. That's living by the word of God. That makes it real. And that's not only what we should do, say tonight when we have friends over, but that's what we should do every day. Today's society is infected by materialism. And so quickly, the spirit of materialism can also affect us. Do we still dare to be different? Also tomorrow when we're out and about again at the work site or in the office, what are the things we are talking about? Do we show to be different? Do we dare to be different? Do we really live our life for and with the Lord? Live our life by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We are wealthy. We have freedom. But without that freedom, can easily be taken away. We can be thankful that we can send our children still to schools where there is reformed education. How long? Most likely you have all heard about that incident in Brisbane, but there was a school based on the reformed curriculum, or Christian curriculum. And so they taught sexuality in accordance with God's word. And it was also stated that only students that would live accordingly could be admitted to the school. No students who on a ball night out where the male would dress himself like a girl. That is out of it. This school was attacked by the LGB community, and they said, this is not right. That's not right. The school under attack to the extent that they withdrew that statement of the school. And even our prime minister said that was the right thing to do. That's the society we live in. And it can easily happen to our school. It can even happen to the church. And that freedom is taken away. Do we panic? No, we don't. Because Father will provide. We have to be real about these things. These are the things we should be worried about. These are the things we should be worried about, talk about, so that we are prepared that it comes. The Lord will provide. We'll see later on in this service, Psalm 145, that says the Lord will provide food in due season. Not only food, everything we need. The Lord will provide in due season, so we don't have to worry about it. When the time comes, the Lord will provide. I often think of that text that the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, you go out in this world and you'll be set before kings and rulers. You'll be persecuted. But in that hour, I will give you what you need to speak. So don't have to worry about it. Father will provide it. It joins in with the sermon which I could deliver here last week Sunday about Lord's Day line. We have a Father in heaven. He will provide. As he did for the Lord Jesus. Because after all these temptations had gone, we read, the Lord Jesus was almost starving, and he had to ward off two more temptations. But as it reads in Mark 1, verse 13, angels ministered to him. Angels ministered to him, right in the middle of the desert. That's how Father provided for his own son. But the Lord Jesus has made it that we, through him, can God call our Father. And that's how he will provide for us. And so that's what we should take home. Don't go home worrying. Go home and say, Father is there. I trust in him. Trust, obey, and pray. That's the lesson. Trust, obey, and pray. And Father will provide. You can be assured of that. How sure? Think of your baptism. You bear the mark and emblem of Christ on your forehead. The promises of the triune God. He will be there. Every day. Every night. More we don't need.
Thank you.
couple of announcements on behalf of the consistory. There will be voting for a deacon straight away after this service, so consistory asks you please stay here in this auditorium. And then a stage has been requested by Brother Brendan Sudema to the Free Reformed Church of Byford. In our prayer this morning, we will thank the Lord with Brother Martin Pluck. A recent scan showed that the chemotherapy has been effective so far, and that means that he can also proceed with surgery later this month. We will pray for Brother Zimmer, who is awaiting a transfer to Verheven. We'll also pray for our minister, Reverend Anderson, who hopes to return to WA this week. So let us unite in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the opening of thy word. We could hear about thy fatherly care. Lord, we thank thee that daily we may live from these riches, marveling also that we don't deserve it. And yet, Father, the danger is there that we almost take it for granted. And therefore, we pray thee help us more and more stand in awe of this care, realizing that every heartbeat, every breath is a gracious gift from thee. Grant then, Father, that in that awareness, when waking up in the morning in good health, first we may thank thee before we do anything else. Help us so to live close to thee each day, as in prayer, Bible reading, meditating upon it, and so walk with thee, as once thy servant Enoch did. Lord, we confess that we cannot do all this in own strength. And therefore we also pray thee, wilt thou work that in us by the renewing power of thy Spirit. Lord, be near to us, to each one of us in their own struggles. Be near to our young people, in fighting the temptations they face in a society that becomes increasingly unholy and anti-Christian. Lord, be with our families. Make them safe havens. The parents and children may live in harmony. Children respecting their parents, and parents instructing their children with compassion and love. Give strong marriages, with husband and wife in self-denying love, caring for each other, reflecting the love of Christ which he has shown to his church. Be near also to those who are single. Give them too what they need in their specific trials, often unbeknown to others. Lord, surround all of us with thy unfailing love, faithfulness and mercy, and carry us daily by thy grace. Lord, we pray thee for the elderly among us. This morning we pray thee in particular for Brother Timmer, as he's awaiting for a transfer to Verheven. Lord, be near to our brother and grant that he may feel at home in Verheven in due time. Be near also to our sister Timmer. Grant her too what she needs on the journey ahead. Gracious God and Father, carry them both by thy love and almighty care. Be near to so many in the eve of life. May we see the earthly tents being broken down. Give what is needed also then, especially spiritual endurance to hold fast to the promises of eternal life, knowing that thou art preparing a place for us. We thank thee with Brother Sister Pluck that Brother Pluck could hear that the chemotherapy had been successful so far, and that he can now undergo that surgery. Lord, there is still a long road laying ahead. But wilt thou be near to our brother and sister? We thank thee that they also feel that thou givest them the strength they need in this particular period of life. Lord, if it is thy will, if it is thy will, make all things well, as in time to come. We so need us as a congregation, as a whole. Be with the elders and deacons in caring for thy flock. Bless also the voting for a new deacon after his worship service. Pray thee for our minister, Reverend Anderson, as he plans to come home this week still needs to quarantine, will God provide also for him, so that in due time he can take up his task here in the congregation in Rockingham. Lord, this morning we also pray thee for the people affected by the bushfires in Bridgetown and Denmark. Father, be with the firefighters, but also with the people who had to evacuate, even a hospital. Father, give what is needed, and with their will, grant that these fires soon may be brought under control. Lord, above all, grant that throughout all what is happening, bushfires, a pandemic, food supply, if you think of the shops that become empty due to rain that has destroyed some of the rain tracks. Lord, all these things come from thy fatherly hand. Help us to see it and that people may see it. For by all these things thou art knocking on the doors of people, or the hearts of people, that they may turn to thee. Open eyes, Father. For this morning we also thank thee with our Queen, Queen Elizabeth II, who 70 years ago was called to duty when her father passed away. Lord, we thank thee for the faithfulness she has shown throughout these 70 years in executing her office, and even today. Lord, be near to her in her high age. Also now she misses her husband, Prince Philip. Lord, surround our Queen with thy love. As in all the turmoil the family going on, we bring her before thee. We ask that he will thou provide also for her. Lord, all this we pray, not because we deserve it, but we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In conclusion, we'll sing from Psalm 145, the verses 1 and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all. Amen.